This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
Please rise as you are able.
Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God.
May God fill you with truth and joy.
Let us pray. God of the living, through baptism we pass from shadow of death to the light of the resurrection. Remain with us and give us hope that rejoicing in the gift of the Spirit who gives life to our mortal flesh, we may be clothed with the garment of immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought.
And the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance.
We have sinned in our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our sake, for Christ's sake, and your lives,
Lord. Amen.
For that resuscitation of that. Through the cause of Christ, God, have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal.
Amen.
Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Graciously grant this humble church peace and unity, if it is your will.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's offer each other a sign of peace. I'll let you have it then.
to be an hour.
Do you want to get one?
Let's stool away.
Well, let's put it over there.
I hit it there. So you sit there.
You can't see your screen. You want to see.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Will.
All right. This is a reading from the book of Exodus. In God's book, all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether it is from form of yourself. You shall not make yourself an idol, whether it is form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord, your God, for the Lord will not acquit any one who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day in the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your own towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hey, thank you, William.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, John.
We're reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discriminant of the discerning. I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. God decided through the foolishness of proclamation to save those who believe. For the Jews asked for signs, and the Greeks were desired wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and the foolishness of the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than any human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thank you to God.
I did it.
Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple with the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling their doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. True gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of life. Be seated, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If you cannot control your anger, you're as helpless as a city without walls, open to attacks. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. All emotions a human being can experience, the emotion of anger is probably the most challenging and complex of all. It can be physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually hurtful. Freedom from anger is what we're going to talk about here. Jenny had been terribly hurt and broken by the hands of another. She had been so mistreated that she could not forgive. That caused her anger, hate, and bitterness to fill her whole being. She became a person she couldn't like. Let alone love. She learned from reading the Bible that she must forgive, but she could not. She knew she was in trouble, so she cried out to God for help. She went to a church one night, but no one was there. She was so burdened with guilt and pain that she just stayed and threw herself down on the floor before the altar and cried out in desperation, "Lord, I can't leave here until you take the unforgiveness and hate out of my heart. I want to have a relationship with you and to go to heaven when I die." Well, suddenly, in an instant, God touched her. She felt like a boil inside of her had been cut open and cleansed of hideous pus and decay. God so filled her with his love that it felt like warm oil was flowing through her body, through her being. Instantly, she began to feel love for that one that hurt her. Then she knew that she could now love anyone because forgiveness had set her free by taking her pain and anger away. Anger can express itself in various forms, and when not directly dealt with, it can unknowingly get buried deep inside. Being stuck in a relationship of abuse or neglect can cause a suppression of anger. Suppressed anger in time will break out of its weak restraints and display itself in many self-destructive ways. It can turn into resentment or bitterness, gradually simmering to the boiling point, at which time it can have severely debilitating effects on mental health. This can result in low self-esteem, withdrawal, isolation, difficulty maintaining relationships, suicidal thoughts, sexual promiscuity, and/or dysfunction. Even physical problems such as migraine headaches, colitis, high blood pressure, substance abuse, lupus, and arthritis can be caused or aggravated by repressing anger. Feeling anger is neither good nor bad, but a reaction, a natural reaction, that occurs whenever our self-esteem or self-respect is hurt or threatened. Anger is a sign that we are alive. On the other hand, hate is a sign that one is sick and is in need of healing. Healthy anger can drive us to do something to change what makes us angry. It can help us to make things better. The main difference between hate and anger is that hate does not want to change things for the better. It wants to make things worse. Anger can mask feelings of helplessness, disappointment, insecurity, grief, and fear. Some people fear the possible consequences of revealing how they feel. Anger may also feel safer than intimacy and genuine communication. It can act as a shield to protect from deeper pain and hurt. When a person walks around with their defenses up, holding on to their anger, they keep themselves from hurting too much and are not so fearful of being hurt again. Anger projected toward others will keep them away. If they can't get too close, there's less vulnerability. Anger may be used to try and end a relationship, but instead, the anger can actually cause the relationship to be maintained emotionally because they remain bound to the person with whom they are angry. Give me that bottle of water, please. Thank you very much. Many kids leave home at an early age to escape from anger and resentment that they feel towards their parents. Sadly, if they don't come to the place of reconciliation and forgiveness, they will be shackled to their family by that very anger that caused them to leave home. Now think about this. Some people are even too scared of anger to get angry. They think that anger is bad because they've seen what uncontrolled anger can do. They're afraid to be angry about things that may be God's will for their life, that they brought it on upon themselves. Some people had parents that expressed their anger with loud violence. Others grew up in an alcoholic or another type of dysfunctional home where displaying negative feelings of any kind was against house rules. Therefore, feeling anger towards someone may leave them feeling guilty and ashamed. There are those who have been physically or verbally abused by angry adults and then not allowed to vent their anger back at them. Many children were the victims of someone getting angry at them for no apparent reason. Maybe their day went bad, or they had to wait too long in line at the grocery store, or they were cut off by a bad driver, or had a bad day at the office. And as a result, the child is left with the impression that anger can take over at any time and make a person do things they would normally not do. Sometimes anger masks feelings that are at the root of the problem because of the feelings of fear and sadness that underlie the anger. When forgiveness enters in, God's light illuminates the truth. It gives the grace to confront the root of the problem. Anger can also be used as a shield to help avoid dealing with hurtful past experiences. Everyone has been ridiculed or humiliated as a result of something they did. Some have been put down in front of others, such as being told they're stupid or a geek. This can lead to repressed anger, not only toward the tormentor, but towards oneself as well. I remember sixth grade at St. Monica. I was in my PE class, and let me preface the story with a little history. 2 years earlier, in the fourth grade, I fell off of a bicycle and shattered my left elbow. I was put in the hospital, had surgery, and was put in traction for 3 weeks, then had another surgery and a cast for 6 months, and then physical therapy for a year, just so I could use my arm again. I was told if I ever had another injury to the arm, I most likely would lose the ability to use it, or worse, lose it altogether. Now, as you can imagine, my parents didn't allow me to participate in any contact sports after the incident, which brings us back to the sixth grade PE class. A teammate had been fouled at a game of basketball with the other male classmates. It was a shooting foul, and I had watched enough sports with Dad to know to line up for free throws. Then a loud whistle. Mark, honey, you're straddling the line. Sweetie, straddling the line. Now, understand, the class of 1988 was a small class of at least double the amount of females than males, and there were enough males to play sports like football and basketball, and then there were a few boys that did not. I stood there wide-eyed, mouth wide open, not knowing what in the world coach was talking about. Come on, little darling, you're straddling the line. We're waiting on you, sweetie. You see where this is going? See where this is going? Chad, get over there and show Marky what he's doing, okay? Okay, I get it. There are little lines on the floor that you're supposed to line up, not only toe line, but you also have to stay in a box. See, that was never explained watching the NBA on TV. Mm-hmm. In my junior high, if you didn't play football, you were invisible. Even regular PE classes were filled with reps of sit-ups and push-ups over and over again. Even for those of us who opted out of the sport, whether we wanted to or not, I was one of the three or four boys who basically didn't exist and were shunned by the rest of the pack. Those years were some of the hardest for me. Events such as these can have long-lasting effects on how we view ourselves or how we think others view us. In order to cope with them, we build invisible walls around ourselves that cling to us far into adulthood. Some even become secure in the insecurity that they may be at the heart of anger. They create situations that could cause anger because they are more afraid of the unknown. What might life be like without problems to which they are accustomed? The security of living with those very problems becomes safer than the insecurity of not having the problems anymore, because what they really fear the most is the unknown. And who doesn't? In the business world, I had a talent for finding a problem and fixing it, or at least putting a problem or a process together that could overcome the problem. Perversely, I thrived on crisis and stress and high stress situations that caused me to be angry. One day, while I was working, my immediate supervisor said, I've noticed that although you're doing a great job fixing problems that arise, you're also creating additional crisis situations so that you can fix them too. Now, it hurt to hear this, but what he was saying was that I was creating my own problems unknowingly so that I could do what I do best. I discovered that I worked better when things were haywire than when things were running smoothly. I was more at home working in stress than without it, so I unconsciously kept allowing problems to happen so that I could fix them. Anger is a powerful emotion that can consume our energy. It has been compared to the combustion process of a car engine that produces the power to make the car move. When those explosions are under control, they will take the car safely to its destination. But if instead of controlling the flow of gas producing the explosions in each separate cylinder, all the gas in the tank was ignited at once, well, the car would blow up with us in it. Anger is also a strong emotional reaction to threatening situations. When anger is managed correctly, it can be an asset. Anger is something that can't be avoided, but it's something that can be controlled. When it rears its ugly head, it can be expressed openly and directly, or it may be kept hidden inside, expressing itself as resentment. Some will show outwardly how angry they are by yelling, slamming the door, throwing things, making threats, kicking the dog, kicking the cat, or even punching a hole in the wall. They might put others down, drive on the road like a maniac, use abusive language, or hit their spouse or kids. Anger can also be a powerful motivator for change, such as when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. In a rare display of emotion, we find Jesus showing righteous indignation. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" From our gospel today. Indignation is anger that rises up as a result of seeing someone or something of importance to us be mistreated or suffering an injustice. Indignation is free from rage, resentment, and retaliation. It's a healthy anger that is aimed at the problem and not the person. It is anger for the right reason and expressed in the right way. It's a controlled anger that is meant to be corrective and constructive. Indignation is the kind of anger Jesus displayed. The Gospels tell of Jesus becoming angry on several occasions, but it was always of the indignation type, aimed at correcting a wrongful practice or adjusting an unhealthy attitude. The Bible reveals the kinds of things that triggered the indignation anger of Jesus. As he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand, so the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had his withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to them, "It is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill." But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. The Pharisees had lost their compassion for others. They didn't care about the condition of the man with the withered hand. All that mattered was maintaining blind, legalistic obedience to the letter of the law. They believed their traditions were more important than easing the pain or meeting the needs of another human being. They had forgotten that the Sabbath was made for man, and not the man made for Sabbath. Jesus looked at them in anger. He was stirred with indignation at what he saw in them because he recognized their compassionless legalism. Now, notice how Jesus expressed his anger. He didn't explode in a rage. He didn't call down fire from heaven on them in wrath. He didn't allow resentment to smolder down inside him. He didn't suppress his anger. But Jesus chose to direct his anger into carefully chosen words of response that he released in a controlled way. He didn't respond in a way that would allow them to fight back. And positive anger can cause a dramatic change in life to be made. It can cause one to quit a dead end job or leave a terrible relationship or help right a social or moral injustice, such as Jesus did. However, beware. Didn't go over too well with religious leaders and was one of the reasons they crucified him. In Abraham Lincoln's biography, Carl Sandburg tells the story of Lincoln as a young boy arriving in New Orleans after having traveled down the Mississippi River. As Lincoln and his companion were walking around the city, they came upon a slave market, the first he had ever seen. Families were being torn apart as their loved ones were sold like cattle at an auction. Lincoln, enraged and horrified, said to his companion, if I ever get the chance to hit this thing, I'll hit it hard. For Lincoln, his anger was a motivating force to change the history of our country and right a terrible wrong. But when anger is the primary motivation for change, it creates resistance to the very change we are trying to bring about because it engenders fear in those we are trying to influence. As a result, it often generates opposition rather than resolution. Resentment. Resentment can be defined as the feeling of constant discontentment that persists even after that which caused the anger is gone. It is anger that stems from a grievance that a person suppresses over a long period of time and allows to quietly smolder down inside them. This kind of anger usually doesn't blow up, but it closes up. As it is nurtured inside the person, it produces self-pity that eventually turns to bitterness. Resentment was what the elder son felt toward his prodigal brother and father. He had been the good son, the faithful son. He was the son who faithfully stayed at home and kept on the job. The prodigal brother was bad, unfaithful, and lazy son who traveled the world doing as he pleased. Now that the son was back at home, the father wanted to celebrate his return with a party. Now the elder son was overcome with anger. He resented his brother. He resented the celebration over his return and resented his father for receiving his wayward brother back into the family. He stubbornly refused to let go of his angry resentment and join in the festivities. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. He replied, all these years, I've worked hard for you, and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back from squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have. Luke chapter 15, verse 28 through 30. Anger that causes resentment damages the human personality and destroys relationships with others. The Bible says that it's harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother, than to capture a fortified city. This anger shuts you out like iron bars. Rage. Rage can be used to describe a short-fused, intense, explosive, uncontrolled anger. People with hot tempers do foolish things, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. It is a fly off the handle, let it all out temper blowout that leaves the person and everybody around them torn to pieces. The excuse most often used is, I just couldn't help it. It made me so angry. I know I lose my temper real fast, but it's all over in a few minutes. People who express this type of anger are walking time bombs with hair trigger tempers ready to explode. A hot tempered man starts fights and gets into all kinds of trouble. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. The easiest way to control this type of anger is to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. James chapter 1, verse 19. Now, suppressed anger. There are also ways in which anger can be shown unknowingly. This type of suppressed anger is used to control others through guilt or fear. Suppressed anger may get a person their way without having to acknowledge that they are angry. They may unknowingly be showing it by habitually late, being habitually late, using sarcasm, forgetting things accidentally, damaging or losing something that belongs to others, annoying someone, sulking, not paying attention, embarrassing people, being silent, and gossiping. Such behavior is infuriating because this anger manipulates and controls others. And then they, in turn, feel angry and resentful. Wrath. Wrath is anger that wants revenge and desires to retaliate. It wants to return the hurt or injustice. It's an anger that holds a grudge. It's an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Don't get even, but get ahead. I'll think of a way to pay you back for this kind of anger. This kind of anger is what the Pharisees felt toward Jesus. They had built their religious system by taking the laws of God and attaching hundreds of their own addendums to it, making it almost impossible to keep the original laws given by God. The truth that Jesus taught the common people of his day broke the Pharisees' power and dominating authority and caused them to seek his death. But they, the Pharisees, were furious at Jesus and began to plot with each other what they might do to Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. Hate. Anger left unattended can turn to hate, a dangerous, deadly emotion directed toward the people who caused the hurt. It is destructive to those to whom it is directed, but more importantly, it is damaging to the victim. It can become a cancer that slowly destroys the body and the soul. Hate can give instant energy and empower the one who has been attacked, but ultimately, hate will turn its power against the hater. It will sap the soul's energy, leaving it weaker than before. Too weak, in fact, to create a better life beyond the pain. Mm-hmm. Anger that is not dealt with will consume time and energy as the painful experiences are mulled over and fumed over. Holding on to anger makes it impossible to forgive people who cause the hurt, even when they have changed and want to reconcile. James, the brother of Jesus, taught that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Anger can only be set free through forgiveness. This is the only way to learn how to be, angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. Okay. We thank you for all we have received, O God, gifts of loving time, money, abilities, and these goals in this place. We turn forth to these gifts. Bless those who receive them, who are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen. Make us foolish enough in our generosity, O God, that we might become wise enough to know that our gifts will bless others, the hungry, the lonely, the searching, the weak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Faithful God of love, you blessed us with your servant son so that we might know how to serve your people with justice and with mercy. We gather the needs of ourselves and others and offer them to you in faith and love, seeking to be strengthened to meet them. For the church, and they grow in our awareness of our dignity as temples of the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the grace of renewal, that God's covenant with us will move our hearts to a deeper relationship with God and a greater service to our neighbors. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For a cleansing of the temple of our hearts, that will free us from all that enslaves us and help us to offer our self-sacrificing service to God and others. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who feel devalued, that God will heal their self-image and give them a new spirit of purpose and direction in life. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all the elect, that God will cleanse their hearts, lead them into fuller faith, and deepen them their desire for baptism. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who teach and preach, that they may faithfully proclaim Christ crucified and lead others into the mystery of God's love. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For members of legislatures, that God will guide their deliberations and help them address the issues that burden the poor and marginalized of society. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Restore them so they can be a blessing to others and share fully in the life of the community. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died, that their souls be at peace in eternal embrace, and those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We reach our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Shape us and transform us by your grace, that we may grow in wisdom and in confidence, never faltering until we have done all that you desire to bring your realm of shalom to fulfillment. Amen.
Amen.
Service. We all are alive with a bunch tonight. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. You might have one of those. We like those. We like to hear from you folks. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. Simply go to an email address there. It's feedback@dallasfieldc.com or dallasfieldc.com and click on contact us. You have one of those? Use one of those two methods to get in touch with us. We'd like to hear from you and take care of any of those compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. You know, you can make a difference. We are a church of all volunteers. Nobody here takes a salary, not even myself. And we only make it and keep our doors open from the tithing of our community that is taking place here in our church, or from donors out in the world, out in YouTube land and in Podcastville and in the universe that help us to see something that they want to keep going. And if you believe in a God who is all loving, all forgiving, all welcoming, a father who is fatherly, if you believe in true meaning of Christianity, which we're trying to spread again to its, and restore to its original and rightful definition, then please consider making a donation to Dallas Church Life Church. You simply go to dallasfieldc.com, click on donate. There you'll have to take it to a secure page where you can choose how you'd like to donate to the church. We could really use your help. I know it's tough on everybody right now. I know it is. But I still have to ask. I'm not very good at this, but I still have to ask. And it's something that's very important. And it's the only thing that's keeping our doors open. We don't sell anything. We just offer God's love, and hopefully people help us keep the doors open with that. Okay. Now, every time I start talking about money, which I said I'm not good at, I always get somebody that comes to me and says, Bishop, look, I love the church. I'll do anything, but I'm broke. I can't give you any money. You know, that's what. Join the club. I mean, I'm right there with you. You just do what we all do. We're all volunteers. Your time is your money. If you can't, when you're not working, you don't have the money, to tithe your 10%, come on in. We've always got something to do. Trust me, there's always something to you I can show you to do. Or you go to dallasfieldc.com and click on volunteer. They'll find a list of the volunteer resources we have available. Like I said, if you don't see something that you like, come on in. I promise, promise, promise. I've got something to use. If I'm without today for ever getting everything finished, something always gets left undone, and we could always use the help. It's a good way to meet your fellow congregants as well. Pray at DallasULC.com. Pray at DallasULC.com. Very simple, folks. If you have a prayer request, you just go to that email address, or you go to DallasULC.com and click on prayer request. You can remain anonymous. You can give us your name. You can ask that your prayers be said during our prayer intercession here at the church on Sundays, or you can ask that they be said during our daily prayers at the church, not on Sundays. Pray at DallasULC.com.
Are you looking for open and honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more? Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares? We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with Bishop Mark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:30, 5:30 Central. It's simple. Just go to Your Path Live with Bishop Mark.online.church and enjoy.
There you have it. Every Wednesday, 5:30, 6:30 Eastern Time, we have Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, which is kind of like a round table with the way here. People can call in and talk and pray and whatever they want to do. If you haven't checked it out, please check it out. I would appreciate it. There are a bunch of these flyers up here that look kind of like what's on the screen up there, right there. Take some of these with you and give them out to people. Seriously, this is how we minister to other people. This is how we get people into doors and come to church and introduce them to our way of life. I think it's a better way of life. You know, just saying. Mm-hmm. So, what does that mean? That means we've got Wednesdays. Every Wednesday at 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time, like I just said, Your Path Live Mission Work. We always still have on Channel 8 on the Pastor Sean Condren Office Television Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Channel 8. We have the Dallas ULC channel, which is always showing some of our stuff. If you want to learn more about Dallas ULC, go there and check it out. I do it all the time. And so that's a great way to do that. And there's some other things here too. There's so many different ways to find us. I love that. The more we can get out there, the better. Now, of course, every time we come on the air at all now, church or the live broadcasts for the talk shows or whatever, the prayer shows, we are live to the world. For almost 8 years, we did all everything recorded and edited it and then put it on later. Well, we're catching up with the times, hopefully. So everything, all the services you see are broadcast live as they happen. Okay. Now, if you're listening to our broadcast, you can always catch recordings on, so I get it to work, YouTube. And there's our YouTube address, www.youtube.com/@DallasULC. So you get to our YouTube page. And there's a lot of videos there, folks. It goes all the way back from the beginning. I mean, everything's there. So you see me age very quickly. And of course, we are now have our own Roku channel, Roku app. Roku app is what it is. We're with the Pastor Sean Condren Office Television Network, PSCO TV Network. They have their own app on Roku, which we are thankfully a part of. We are channel, what channel were we? I forgot. No. It was 115, I think, 105. 105. 105. It just slipped my mind. 105. Channel 105, what you do is you go and just follow this thing here. You go add channel with a code. There's a subscription code to your PC, your access code, that. Very simple. Or you can go in and just download the PSCO TV, app on there. And then that you go in there and log into that, and that's where all the channels are for the PSCO TV network, which there's a lot of good ones on there. We happen to be one of them, though. The channel 105 is ours. Check it out, folks. Let's think about it. I'm excited about the Roku thing. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So there's that. Okay. Oh, wow. Another way. One more way. We have podcasts, folks. We have two different podcasts out there. Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, which is exactly what it says. It is a little short, little burst of life lessons, little tidbits of information for you. And then, of course, Your Path with Bishop Mark is our Sunday service put into a podcast. That's it. You can catch any of those things on any of your favorite podcast providers, or you can go to DallasRealestate.com and you can find the links to them there. Okay? That's a lot of ways for you to be able to get in touch with us. And hopefully everybody out there can find a way to get in touch with us and to watch us and to just worship with us from around the world and around the universe. I'd love to hear that they're worshiping with us on some space station or from the moon. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay. All right, folks. Guess what? You made it through the announcements. Now, your favorite part. Let's rise verses, please. God speaks and sends you forth. Go to proclaim God's grace and glory. Jesus speaks and lives are changed. Go to set free the oppressed, to be the voice for those never heard. The Spirit speaks and the world is turned inside out. You will become as foolish as a trusting child, as powerless as those overlooked by everyone around them. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen. We go in the name of Christ. It'll be a 10-minute intermission, and then we will have a short roundtable.
Knocking on heaven's door. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
I like that.
Every time.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, huh? Usually he's sitting up there. Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Bishop's Roundtable, Bishop Mark. Thank you for joining us. Bishop Mark.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hold your applause. Hold your applause.
Not phone instructions.
Okay, folks. The round table. What'd you like? What'd you not like? What do you want to keep? What do you want to get rid of? Here we are. Your turn. Flipping tables. What about it? Anger. What about it?
Everybody has it.
It's not always bad either.
Most of the time it's not good.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But it's something we cannot stop. It's going to come up. We're going to get angry. But we learn how to control it. Right?
Control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to.
Let's see. How do you control something that,
what?
That is not only influenced or sometimes even caused completely by somebody else's actions in the way that they are?
Forgiveness.
Okay.
You know, forgive them for being angry?
But in the moment, you can't control that certain feeling you have in there, because you can sit there and forgive them immediately.
But, yeah, you can.
But, like, that action still has happened.
You still have to have control over your body and your facilities. Yeah. Yes, we all have times, and that's what we were talking about in the sermon today, about all different kinds of people. You know, the hothead, the one who has a short temper, all these different things, the ones who want revenge. We all are a little different. I mean, I know that I have, it takes a while to get me there. I mean, I have a lot of patience, although it stews in me.
Oh,
it stews. And when it pops, it pops. And I know that about myself, and it's very hard for me not to, because I want to give everybody every chance in the world I can give them, you know?
And you do.
And I do. And some. But we are human. We are going to make mistakes. We have to learn from these. You have to get stronger. Every time you have a problem, a sin, and something that brings you down, something you're not supposed to be doing, something you don't like about yourself, and you're trying to improve it, when you do that, you're improving those things, you're getting closer to God. You're getting closer to what you want to be. You're getting closer to your Christianity, your Christian faith. And that's why it's so important to repent when you sin. It's not just about saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's just words, air, nothing. It's just vibrations. What are you doing? What actions are you taking to show that you're sorry? That's what makes it real. That's what makes it the other person believe it. And the other person, you know, you can't control what the other person does either. I mean, they may say, I don't believe you, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to forgive them. Not even for them necessarily, but for yourself. Because you can't hold on to that junk. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that you hold on to that crap and keep stuffing it down inside you, it causes cancer. It causes leukemia. It causes diseases that kill you. It's not just things in the world that we eat and we smoke and touch that kills us. Emotions are that strong. They can kill you. Think about how bad it hurts when you break up with somebody.
Doesn't listen to you.
When we break up with somebody, think about how that first night. That first night and you're used to a routine, right? Mm-hmm. It ain't happening. House is real quiet. It hurts. That hurts worse than some physical pain.
That's true.
Emotional pain is something we as Americans especially, we put on the side back burner as not as important as physical pain, just like we do with mental illness and mental awareness and mental cognitive things about the brain. Look, that thing's pretty important up there. And these emotions we have that come from all that, they're very important. Just ask AI. I'm sure they would love to feel our emotions.
We don't.
we can describe them to them all we want, mm-hmm. but they don't know. I mean, look, love is indescribable. You cannot describe. You can describe it to all you want, but you're not going to completely describe it. You're not. It's impossible. It's just that feeling is amazing. Right? Right. Y'all are bored.
Bored.
I didn't say bored.
You ever notice it all comes back to that four-letter word?
Mm-hmm. Love.
Every time we talk, we're talking about that four-letter word, love. I swear I'm going to change the name of the church to love. I mean, because it's what it is. That's what it's all about. That's what Christ was about. That's what God is about. God is love. Without him, we don't have it.
No, we don't.
What a strange world that would be. Because, well, love, you wouldn't have hate, right? Because our universe is balanced. So you wouldn't have those two things. So what would you have instead?
You clone. Yeah, you're
something. I don't want to think about it. No. I don't like hate. But, again, you cannot appreciate love the way we appreciate it unless you have that counterpart over here. Because you can be you love and love and love and love and love, but until you experience hate, until you firsthand had that experience with it, you're not going to really put love on the pedestal it needs to be on. So,
that being said, right, with the anger thing, right?
Anger.
Anger and happiness are those two, right, that are like opposite each other. Did you say that anger and happiness?
Love and hate?
No, I say anger and joy.
Anger and joy, okay. Happiness, joy, similar. So how does one feel any sort of
happiness if you're not supposed to deal with anger?
You're supposed to deal with it.
What are you supposed to do? Because you're not supposed to feel it. You're supposed to forgive immediately.
Say, what does it say? What did I say about that? Slow to, what was the word I used?
I'm just wondering, because like, it mm-hmm. seems like we're trying to say, like, okay, if you don't feel that anger, try to forgive them immediately and don't feel that anger.
You're going to feel the anger. It's not acting on the anger. That's the point we're trying
to
make. Don't act on it.
Well,
you've got to be in control of your body not to, to do things, you know.
Yeah, but if you control yourself to the point where you don't feel the anger, does you mean you should?
You should feel, if you don't feel the anger, then there's no topic to talk about.
All right, but like, if you don't feel the anger, you don't really feel what you should be feeling, and that's it.
There's probably something wrong.
And you numb yourself?
Right. Yeah, you absolutely can. Yeah, I would suggest seeing a psychiatrist.
And you hold that.
I'm serious.
Oh, Lord. If that's the case, I should have saw a psychiatrist years ago.
Yeah, but it's the truth, Don. You should. If you're numbing yourself out to your emotions, you're numbing your emotions out. You're not paying attention to what your body is telling you.
Yeah.
Why? Your body's telling you those things for a reason. Right? So to numb them out, try and block them out, is not the way to do it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. A man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
No, it doesn't. Right.
Anger can only be set free through forgiveness. This is the only way to learn how to be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's an old, I've heard that before of some elderly people that told me, we never go to bed angry. Mm-mm.
I always
resolve the problem before we go to bed, because that way you're done. It's over with. You figure it's done. Put to rest. What else did you have to say, William?
I don't know. I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting understanding what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Okay. Don.
What?
You good?
I'm good. I just didn't know. I don't let stuff affect me like that. I
What do you mean?
Because, the anger, for example, I'm not allowed in my best friend's house for some strange reason, something stupid he does. But he's mad at me because I won't come over there. I can't come over there. We're supposed to be mad now. I'm not. If you're not mad at me, no, I'm not mad at you.
But you tell him why I can't go over there.
I have. You know, he's not understanding why I came from over there.
Well, hopefully he does now.
Probably. I hope we got it clear. I mean, just put my stuff out there. I'll be fine.
Honesty and communication is important in any kind of relationship, friendship, marital relationship, anything else, a business relationship, any of it. Honesty and communication.
But if you're going to talk to them and they don't talk about you, what are you supposed to do?
You can't change
the door down?
You can't change a person.
I know I can't.
You can't change somebody else. You cannot make them do something. They have to want you. So what do? Well, you just keep leading by example.
Well,
keep doing the right thing.
I'm leaning there.
It's tough.
I go beat your door down.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.
God never said life was going to be easy.
It is easy.
It's pretty simple. But it ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
Love one another as I have loved you.
I do.
I know you do. I see that. I see you do that every day, Don.
What?
I see you love one another as he has loved us every day. Every day I see you do that. Every day I see you do that. Even when you're in a bad mood, I see you do that.
Even when I'm in a bad mood?
Even when you're in a bad mood, you do. You have a heart of gold. You really do. You hide it.
What?
You hide it. But you do have a heart of gold.
Okay, I can deal with that.
He does too.
We know.
Big, big, big heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
He hides it also.
I'm selfish sometimes, but it's not. It's not that. It's just I don't want to deal with it. I just leave me alone.
We have heard you say that plenty of times too. If you're like watching, you've watched today, you've never watched before. Don and I have known each other for
35
years. 35,
it is 35.
35
years now.
Wow. I'm getting old. I was brushing my hair this evening for service this afternoon, and the whole front is starting to very quickly turn the color of my mother's hair.
And recede?
No, it's not receding. Okay. I've always had a high forehead. You know that. My dad's hair is not bald. Mom had a huge, thick hair.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, it happens. What do? Go, I could just go get a wig.
I can't believe you said that.
Why not?
Oh my God.
Or just following Don's footsteps.
No, I can't
what?
Do that. Look, I showed you what I would look like if that happened.
Yeah, that's fine.
Baylor saw it and I went and said, oh my God, where was that? Are you okay?
I
did an app. I went to an app and made myself bald. So, yeah. I didn't like the way it looked either. I didn't like it at all. I like my hair.
It's scary.
Okay. Let's pray our way out of here and have a nice beginning to our week. And
happy birthday to you.
Is your birthday coming up in there?
Friday. Uh-huh.
This Friday.
Okay.
You're what, 75?
95.
95?
No, 61.
You don't look a day over 96.
You may be better than
I'm alive. Don's going to be 61 years old. Yeah, it's Friday, so happy birthday, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Can I sing to you?
No.
Okay, Patsy, sing to you.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come together today and worship you as we so rightfully should. Not everybody in the world has this opportunity. Some may be persecuted for just doing what we did today, saying, I love you, Lord. Lord, help us to control ourselves. Help us to learn ourselves. Help us to understand how to deal with these emotions that you have running through our bodies. They're there for a reason. We know that. Help us to understand what to do with them and how to use them wisely and productively. Lord, watch over us all this coming week. The weather is beautiful. Spring has sprung here in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It is still Lent. It's still time of reflection and time of service. But you remember that, folks? I remember that every day. I can't have a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And happy birthday to Don this Friday. A special blessing upon him. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, folks, thank you very much. Let's help break down. See you folks later.